everybody. My name's Kristen, and I want to welcome you all out to week number 10 of our client education series. If you've been tuning in so far, you've learned all about the defensive strategies to building your financial house, and you've had some introduction to the offense. Tonight, we're covering the details of setting up retirement plans and college plans. If you have questions about the material that is covered here tonight, we encourage you to reach out to the agent who invited you here. We have two wonderful speakers for you this evening. I know you're all familiar with the great Arlie Larson. He and his wife, Fern, have been in the investment business for over 32 years and have helped thousands of families in the U.S. and Canada save and invest for their golden years. Also tonight, we're excited to have another great member of Arlie's team, Mr. Cody Beckett. Cody has extensive experience in the financial services business in coaching clients to financial freedom, as well as training a team of agents to do the same. Cody lives in Lloydminster, Alberta, and runs his business there along with his lovely partner, Laura. So without further ado, take it away, Arlie and Cody.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the webinar. I think you're on week 10. It's hard to believe that, one of the things that people end up doing is going through their entire life and never learning 1 week, let alone 10 weeks. And this is just getting started, but it's being recorded. So everybody can come and they'll be able to review and check on things. But there's so much that is just common sense. And yet there's some things that you just have to understand. And if you're going to be financially independent, it's just amazing. And so you've got the people have been around for 30, 40 years. You got the people around 5, 10 years. Doesn't matter how long you've been around this business. If you've helped a lot of clients become financially independent or at least get on track for financial independence, that's the whole goal of these webinars. And so hopefully you've been taking notes. If not, get your pen, get your paper out. And I see Cody's there, and behind him is a sign that says, if not now, when? Ultimately, today is the very best day to start a program where you're going to start on the road to financial independence if you haven't already been well on the way there. And if you haven't really taken a lot of notes, it's time to really get serious, because you're going to find out with these webinars that everything you need to know is in this package. And if you just set up your goal and you get the discipline, you're going to be able to be financially independent. It's amazing when you start looking back the last 32 years, how many people we've watched reach their goals. They set their goals, they've reached their goals, and now they're enjoying this great life. So I'm going to introduce Cody. Cody, you take it and just do a quick review of what we did last week, week number 9. And then we're going to get right into retirement plans and college education plans. And we're going to talk a little bit about sort of what you need to know to end up achieving your goals and your dreams, because that's what this webinar is all about. Cody Beckett, take it away.
Good evening, Arlie. You can hear me there?
Well, I can hear you loud and clear.
Well, hopefully you can see the screen there, guys. We're going to do a little screen sharing here tonight, but just like Arlie said, welcome to the webinar tonight. Just a quick recap of class number 9 last week there is one of the things we covered was we're in a pandemic, okay? And when we look at markets and pandemics, a lot of times people, you know, they see the markets going down and they jump ship, so to speak, right? They're like, oh, I can't take this anymore. And something that we've always educated clients on is being a behavioral investor and not an emotional investor. And so being on this emotional roller coaster, seeing the markets go up and seeing the markets go down, this slide's a great little snapshot of looking at different pandemics that we've been through over the last 20 years. I mean, we've got SARS, avian flu, swine flu, MERS, the Ebola, Zika, and now the coronavirus. But if you look overall, the markets will continue to go up. The markets have always gone up. And it's important to understand and realize that from an investor or an investor standpoint, markets are going to go up and down, right? And understanding that's going to take a lot of stress out of your life, right? Because it doesn't really matter what pandemic comes our way, the markets will always prevail. And some of the things that you need to have is a proper mindset for investing. You know, market declines are normal. You're going to see the decline. You're going to see the incline, okay? Have a buy and hold strategy. When we talk about time, not timing, it's time in the market, not timing the market. A lot of times people want to buy low and sell high, but very rarely does this happen because we don't know when the top of the market is. We don't know when the bottom of the market is. And that's why, you know, one of the things we want to focus on is time in the market. Keeping a proper perspective, understanding what's the goal, where are we going, and having that focus, not on the focus of the statement that we get every month, and diversifying your portfolio, having that diversification based on what goals you're trying to reach, and then automating your FIN number. And this is something that you're going to hear a lot through these client education webinars and series is, what does automating your FIN number mean? Well, your FIN number is how much money you need to retire on. And automating it is having that money come out of your bank account every month, right? Just like clockwork. And before long, you don't even know that it's there, but your net worth is consistently growing. And so if we look at market declines, we'll start with the first one on the list there, market declines. They're normal, right? And if we look at the size of the decline, so what we're going to look at here is just the S&P 500 over, you know, from 1949 until today. And if we look at the size of the decline, so say a 5% decline or more happens about 3 times a year. Average length of time is about 43 days. And so this is something that you're going to see multiple times a year and throughout your life if you're investing money. A 10% or more decline happens about once a year. Okay. And just because the market declines 10%, have some patience. 112 days later, they're usually over. Okay, a 15% usually happens about once every 3.5 years, lasts a little over 260 days, and 20% or more is about once every 6 years. Okay, and then the return on that, or the, you know, to come out of that takes a little over a year there, about 401 days. And if we understand this and we understand that this is going to be a normal process of our investment life, then there's no need to panic when the markets go down. And the other thing you gotta understand too is that if you're constantly investing on a monthly basis, when that money goes in and the markets are down, you're buying low, right? And we've heard it before that the stock market or the markets are the only thing that people don't buy on sale, because generally they're emotional investing, markets decline, and all of a sudden they're taking their money out when they should be putting their money in. The second thing was demonstrating the advantage of buy and hold strategy. And if we look at an average investor, well, kind of left to their own means, right? Somebody that doesn't have a coach maybe working with him. You know, the average stock investor lagged the market over the long haul by nearly 1.8% per year, while the average bond investor virtually lost all their positive returns, trailing the bond market by an average of more than 4.6% per year. And so compounded over time, this impact is catastrophic. If you took $100,000 back in 1999 and you know, the average equity investor left to his own devices would have returned about 4.25%, have about $230,000 there at the end of 2019. But had they left the money in and been consistent, they could have had, you know, a little over 6% return and north of $320,000. And the same scenario goes for the average fixed income investor, maybe somebody that's in retirement, somebody that's watching their money on a daily basis when they should be, you know, trusting the markets and understanding that fluctuation is normal. We talk about time in the market and not timing the market. If we take a look here, this slide shows $1,000 invested in the S&P 500 back in January 1st of 2010 until December of 2019. And had you left the entire $1,000 invested over that entire length of time, right, you'd have a little over, you'd have about $2,897 there today. Now, let's just say that, you know, you were watching the markets and you decided, oh, the markets are going down, I got to take my money out. And you missed the top 10 best days in that 10-year span, you would have lost about 33% of your potential value. Okay, if you missed the top 20 best days, now you've lost half your value. The best 30 days, you know, you've lost 60%. And if you missed the best 40 days over a 10-year period, you would have actually lost money. Again, behavioral investing and not emotional investing. Having a proper perspective can help you remain calm. We know that there's going to be the fluctuations. It's going to go up and down, right? But we also know that, you know, long-term investments will increase. let's look at a 10-year, an average 10-year 10-year time span from 1937 until today. And if you actually look at every single 10-year period, you would have averaged about 10.47% from 1937 to 2019. And so even in the downturns, you're still going to see a positive increase. And so again, having that long-term perspective, what's the goal with our investments, right? And then automating your FIN number. And a classic saying in the personal finance is pay yourself first, right? If we all lived in the mindset of the money comes into the home, we take a certain percentage of that and invest it for our future and live on everything else, right? You'll get to a point in your life where you've got more money than you could ever imagine, right? And this is automating your FIN number. You know, before your paycheck hits that account, set up a plan, invest the money, and if you can't, you can't spend it if you've already saved it, right? And one of the best ways to save automatically is to enroll in your employer's tax advantage retirement plan, you know, such as a 401k or 403b plan in the US, or maybe a group RSP plan here in Canada. And depending on the rules and limits of your retirement plan, you may be able to save a percentage of your salary. Your employer might match that up to a certain percentage. But what's going to happen, guys, is that money is going to constantly be growing, taking advantage of the ups and downs in the markets. And just like on autopilot, you're going to become independently wealthy. And if your company does not offer that tax advantage retirement plan, you can still save money for your own retirement in an IRA or in your own RSP here in Canada, or a TFSA, right? And make your savings automatic by setting up that reoccurring deposit from your checking account. So if you're working today and you don't have an employer that has a plan set up for you, you got to understand that you're your own retirement savings plan, right? This is put on your shoulders. And so for you guys to be here tonight, you know, educating yourself on that, that's a phenomenal pat on the back for you, okay? A little bit about asset allocation. What is asset allocation? Asset allocation involves dividing your investments among different types of assets, such as stocks, bonds, cash. Having that proper asset allocation is a personal decision, right? Depending on where you are in your life, and that allocation that works best for you will change as time goes on, depending how long you have to invest and your ability to tolerate risk. And when we're creating your asset allocation, we have to look at your time horizon. You know, do we have a short amount of time or a long amount of time? We've got to look at your risk tolerance, right? Diversification. You know, where do we want that portfolio to be? What are investment choices? Do we want a portfolio that auto rebalances? You know, what does that mean? There's all kinds of things that a person has to keep in mind. And when we look at creating that asset allocation, you know, time horizon is the number of months or years or decades that you need to invest to achieve your financial goal. And when we talk about the FIN number, that's the financial goal. And then we work it backwards. How do we get there, right? Investors with a longer time horizon, you know, they may feel comfortable taking riskier, more volatile investments. And those with a shorter time horizon may prefer to take less risk. And we understand that, you know, more risk means more reward, less risk means less reward, but both have a very important role in an investor's lifespan, right? Now, risk tolerance and risk capacity, there's a difference. The risk tolerance is your ability or willingness to lose all or some of your original investment in exchange for potentially greater returns. And risk capacity, it's unlike tolerance, is the amount of risk that an investor must take in order to reach their financial goals. And this is the rate of return necessary to reach these goals. And it can be estimated by examining the time frames and the income requirements. So what this is saying is, if you're retiring at, say, 65, and maybe you've got 10, 15, 20 years on your hands, you know, you can likely afford a more volatile investment to get that better return or that better to reach your FIN number. And this is why a lot of times GICs or fixed incomes that are offered by traditional banks generally won't work hard enough for a client to get them to retire, you know, financially independent. And so by working with an advisor and understanding your risk tolerance and risk capacity, you can safely invest in a market based on your you know, on your timeframes, but by having an understanding and an education around that. Really, a lot of times risk is only risk because we don't understand it. And once we understand it, the level of risk drops dramatically. If we look at diversification, you know, umbrellas and sunglasses, you know, have you ever noticed that a street vendor often sells, you know, seemingly unrelated products? Some will be umbrellas, some will be sunglasses. And you know, that might seem odd, but by selling both items, you know, at their booth there, they can, they're diversifying. They're offering, you know, when it's sunshining, you know, we got the sunglasses. When it's raining, we've got the umbrellas. And this is the same way with our investments and having that diversification to take different advantages in the market. You know, if one part of the market is booming and the other part isn't, you're going to want, you know, a part of your portfolio in several different markets so that they offset each other. And so you can take advantage of each part of the market. You know, investors are warned never to put all their eggs in one basket, right? And which is the central thesis on the concept of diversification lies, right? It's a management strategy that blends different investments in a single portfolio, essentially like just what we were talking. And the idea of having a diversification in your portfolio generally will run you better returns on your investments. Now, when we come to investment choices, we really have three choices. We've got aggressive, moderate, conservative. An aggressive portfolio is a type of portfolio that is appropriate for investors with a high risk tolerance and a long-term investment horizon, right? They'll have more stocks relative to bonds. Moderate is maybe for somebody with a medium risk tolerance, medium investment or medium time horizon, as lower percentages of stocks relative to bonds. Stocks generally grow higher than bonds. Bonds are more fixed income and offer security. So the older we get, the generally, the more conservative we become just to preserve our capital, right? And conservative is a type of portfolio that is appropriate for investors with low risk tolerances or short investment time horizons. So maybe we're looking to retire in the next 5 years and you know, we're looking at, well, I got a bunch of money. Should I be putting it aggressive, moderate, conservative? It really depends on when you need the vast majority of that money. And a conservative portfolio is gonna have more stocks less stocks relative to bonds. It's going to have more bonds in there. And to give you an example, over on our screen here, if we look at an aggressive portfolio, you know, maybe 20% is bonds and 40% is stocks. And as we work down, conservatives is now more 70% bonds and, you know, less stock. And if we look at, you know, some of the funds that are available out there, there's an autopilot or a target date funds. And essentially what those are, and a lot of times these are offered through your group, you know, your 401k at work or your group RSP in Canada, where when you're younger, they're going to have more growth funds, more growth and income funds, less balanced funds, and less fixed income funds. But as we near retirement, those automatically rebalance so that we have more fixed income, more security, less volatility in our portfolios as we get older, because that's matching our, and meeting our investment objective. And so what does rebalancing mean? Rebalancing is when what investors do to bring their portfolio back to its original asset mix. It's needed because over time, some of the investments will grow faster than others. Normally, the stocks will grow faster than the bonds. And this may push your holdings out of alignment and out of your, you know, out of alignment with your investment goals. And so by rebalancing, you'll ensure that your portfolio does not overweight a particular asset category. So let's say you've got, you know, 40% stocks and the stock market takes off and essentially your portfolio goes from a 40% holding to an 80% holding. We might say, well, that would be a good thing. But if that's not your risk tolerance, and then now you've got 80% of your portfolio that can take a rapid decline in a market correction, all of a sudden, you know, we're uncomfortable with our investment vehicle. And this is what those target date funds do. And if we look at, you know, just for example, and I just explained that without showing you the words there. Sorry about that. But it just reestablishes your original asset mix to keep you within the target that you have. All right. And now, Arlie, I'm going to turn this back to you there to recap, and you can take her away.
Thank you, Cody. And, you know, it's just amazing. I love to listen to you. You've always got to, you know, sort of a way of just saying it the way it is. And I think a lot of people, you know, when you start thinking about markets everything is sort of the flavor of the day. Oh, did the market go up or go down today? Who cares? Do you know the market in the 32 years I've been around this business has never disappointed anybody if they stayed in the market. What happens is people get scared and get out of the market. And so education is key. If you're on this call, I want to congratulate you. There's several hundred of you on here and you've been getting on every week and you've been learning. And all I can say is, hey, you're in control. It is your future. We will help you. We will educate you, but it's your future. And you know, there's not a lot of interest out there in teaching you the fundamentals of investing and protecting your family properly and being able to know for sure that you're on track. Everything's short term. Everything's the flavor of the day, and that will get you nowhere. You need to have discipline. And you know, when Cody's talking about how the markets have worked, the markets have always worked the same, and they've always worked in your favor, especially if you are a lifetime investor, or even if you're starting today and you make up your mind to be a lifetime investor. And you know, our business was built with lifetime relationships. If you're scared, pick up the phone, send a text, an email. We will walk you through it. I've been through many, many, as you saw. Every year we get some drops, and every few years we get some major drops, but they affect you in a very good way if you're smart. And if you're not following the herd over a cliff, you're going to be the one that benefits and becomes financially independent. And we have no other interest other than helping you become financially independent. And that's why we talk a lot about the FIN number. I'm going to share my screen and talk a little bit about, you know, what we've got right now in our hand is an industry that really doesn't like to talk about, you know, the goals and what you should have for a goal. And so hopefully you can see that. Cody, if you can, give me a thumbs up. And I think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, when it comes to fixing their finances and talking about their finances, nobody gets to understand the basics of the fundamental foundation that it takes. And so you've got a budget. Ultimately, you've got to have a budget, emergency fund. You've got to have cash if something happens, and things do happen. Who would have ever thought we'd have a virus that would turn the world upside down? But you know what? That's going to go away. You know, you got to protect your income and your liabilities. You cannot go out there. You always have to protect your home and your car. And then what about your income? What's more important, a car, a home, or your income? And so you want to protect all of those and make sure that you are in good shape if something does happen, God forbid. It does from time to time. You want to pay off your bad debt. What's your bad debt? Your bad debt is everything you've got, credit cards that you've already, you know, you've disposed of whatever you purchased, or you've gone to the restaurant and it's still going month after month, and they're charging you 18 to 28%. And it's impossible for you to get ahead of that unless you have a plan and you get rid of that bad debt. Home ownership, I mean, is going to work for you as you pay down the debt. You're going to have inflation on your side, and hopefully you will do fine with home ownership. So that's considered a good debt. You know, understanding investments, you got to understand that it's a little bit over a long period of time. It's not stopping living and investing and being the person who says, I want to retire at 30 years old. As much as it is the fact that, hey, you're going to live a normal life. You're going to raise children. You're going to get them educated. You're going to end up living a very fulfilling life and becoming financially independent so that when you get older, you've got choices. And those choices can be made not based around money. So your retirement college savings, there's a right way to do that. There's a very bad way to do that. And you want to be careful when you do that, that you do it without a lot of downside. And so these are all, this is all just your financial house, and you need your other goals and dreams. What are your goals and dreams? Do you want to have a second home? Do you want a vacation home? You want to take trips around the world? I don't know what they are, but whatever they are, you have to put them down and you have to start planning for them. And that's why we offer a complete and thorough financial needs analysis. It's a written game plan that covers all of these things and helps you become debt-free and financially independent and to make sure that you cover your family and your assets and your liabilities properly. So finding your, funding your FIN number is a good thing. What is a FIN number? A lot of people, and we talk about this almost weekly on these calls, because nobody will go and talk about it if you go to a traditional financial institution, because they don't want you to really know that, you know, you're going to have that goal set out there and you're going to have to invest properly or you're not going to reach those goals. And the FIN number is really what you're going to need to accumulate to live off of so that the money won't run out before you run out. And here's an example. If you retired in 30 years with $100,000 a year in today's dollars, 30 years from now, after 3% inflation, if you were making $100,000 now, you would need $243,000. That's the biggest shock people get. The minute they realize that it's actually not $100,000 when I retire, I need $243,000. And they don't realize that that's happening every single day. It is the cancer of the financial future for clients is inflation, which is going to hit you because you don't understand it. Your goals are not set properly. So what we do is we'll turn around and we'll show you exactly what you'll need. If you were 30, you were making $100,000, you want to retire financially in the bank, your FIN number would be $2.6 million. And you go like, how could that possibly be? That is the way it is. And then what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about what you'd have to do. If you had nothing today and you could get 9% on your investments, you would need $1,421 a month. And you go like, well, you know what? Hey, if you really sit down and put your goal together, there is ways where you can always reach your financial independence number. And if you need some help, whoever invited you to this call, give them a call, sit down and do your work with them on setting your goals and finding the money that you need to take care of your future and your future financial independence number. So what are we talking about here? We're really talking about a system where you set your goal. And it doesn't matter what it is, you set your goal and you decide, okay, I'm going to make that happen in my lifetime. So for your goal of financial independence, let's just say you were 30 years old, making $40,000, not big. A lot of people would make 80, and you could double these numbers. If these numbers don't work for you, I'll put 80 in. If they don't work, well, you could go three times and put 120 in, and you go three times on everything. Because at one point, if inflation's 2.5%, by the time you're 65, 35 years later, you need 94,000. And by the time you get up to age 85, you're going to be spending 155,000 a year. And so even though that's not much, well, if you double all those numbers, then you start to realize, okay, this is a pretty serious exercise. And if we don't do it and we don't set our goals, we're going to not have the resources when it comes time to retire. Because a FIN number for this particular person would be about $1.2 million. And you go like, really? So at a 7% rate of return after retirement, you're going to start withdrawing that money, and that money is going to take you from 94,000 to 155, and you're going to have enough money to live out your retirement and to leave a little bit to your children. Now, what is the spending phase? Now you've gone and you've had the discipline to set the goal. You've had the discipline to save the money that you need to have that goal. And if that goal was 1.2 million and you're now starting out at 94,000 at age 65, and you want to make your money last as long as you do, if you got a 9% return on your money, which is high, in 20 years, you'd have a 1.8 million left over. If you only got 7%, you'd have 757,000 left. And if you got a 5% return on that money as you were spending, you would end up having $64,808 left over. So you would not have to put your hat on and run over to your kid's house and check in because you're out of money. And because you were smart enough to discipline and to set your goals, you are going to be smart enough to live the rest of your life in dignity. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. So I'm going to turn it back over to Cody, Retirement Planning Options for Canada. It's unique in Canada, and it's unique in the United States. We're going to talk about both. So Cody's going to go through the retirement planning options that you have in Canada, And then I'm going to go through some of the U.S. Retirement planning options that you've got if you're south of the border. Cody, back to you.
That was awesome, Arlie. Every time you share the FIN number and talk about that, I always get excited because this is something that I bought into, and it's exciting to see your money grow. So let's talk, let's just kind of keeping in mind of the FIN number. So let's say you got this family here, you got your FIN number ready to go. But one of the questions is where do we save that money, right? And so in Canada, we've got a couple different options where we can save money. And one type of account is called an RSP, a retirement savings plan. And what that is, it's just a type of, it's not an investment, but it's a bucket. Picture it as a bucket that you can put an investment in. And as you put your money in, it buys that investment and it can grow in that bucket. And so as it grows in that bucket, there's some benefits. Now, one of the benefits is it's tax deferred until retirement. Okay, that's one benefit. And I'll talk about that in just a second here. The second benefit is it gives both you and your spouse, 26.5, I think that was 2019, 2020 is $27,230 of earned income. So, you know, a husband can do 27,230. I think it's about 18% or 27,230 is the max, okay, that you can put into your RSP and that money can grow tax-free. So if you look at it this way, let's say you put in, $10,000 and that $10,000 grows to $20,000. During those growth years, you don't have to pay the taxes on that money. And we'll talk about the drawdown in just a second. But one of the neat things about an RSP though, is that it allows you to take the, that whatever amount of money you put into an RSP, you can deduct that from your income at the end of the year. So let's say you put in $10,000 into an RSP, and at the end of the year, you're doing up your taxes, and on your taxes, it says, hey, did you put any money into an RSP this year? And well, you said, yes, I put in $10,000. And then the government says, well, we didn't know that you were going to save money in that RSP. So we're going to give you the taxes back on that money that you've put into an RSP. So a lot of times, and the reason I'm explaining it this way is a lot of times I find that people, they look at an RSP and they think it's maybe a bad thing because they say, well, you get taxed when you take the money out. And that's true. You do get taxed when you take the money out, but we've forgotten that we've been given the taxes back on that money when we put it in. So it actually will lower your taxes by whatever tax bracket you're in. Let's say you're in a 30% tax bracket, you'll get 30% back by putting that money into an RSP, and it lowers the amount of taxes that you have to spend, okay? Another type of account that you can invest in Canada is called a TFSA or a tax-free savings account. And this type of account or bucket, we'll use a bucket again, is a bucket that you can put after-tax dollars in and it can grow tax-free. And when you take the money out, there's no taxes due on it, okay? And right now in Canada, you've got $69,500 is the maximum limit that you can have put into your TFSA from 2009 till today. It doesn't matter what it's grown to. We've got clients that have well over that amount in their TFSA because that money's consistently growing. Contributions will grow tax-free. The more money is allowed to grow and compound year after year, okay? And then, this postpones payments of taxes on any earnings forever, right? And I mean, you can literally invest in your TFSA, get to the time you want to take it out, and that's just tax-free cash, okay? And why is this important? One of the benefits of, you know, investing in an RSP or investing in a TFSA is giving you the ability to defer the taxes as long as possible. So if we look at an RSP, for instance, you can invest into an RSP up until, you know, age 71. And then at that point, we got to roll those accounts over and start a drawdown period. But this will allow you to collect some old age security. It'll allow you to collect Canadian pension, because if you're deferring this income for as long as possible, well, CPP and old age security in Canada start well before 71 years old, right? It allows you to pay less taxes during retirement than you were when you were working. And so ultimately what we find is, you know, if you're making 100 grand a year today and you've structured your life properly, you won't be living on $100,000 because you're going to be taking, you're going to have that pay yourself first mentality. You're going to be taking some of that money, you're going to be investing it. And that's getting invested tax deferred, whether it's a, you know, TFSA or an RSP in retirement. When you start taking that money out of your RSP, you know, and your RSP is now rolled into a RIF, a registered retirement income fund. And this starts paying you, you know, a monthly income month after month. And I always tell my clients, I always say, you know, what would you rather? Would you rather, you know, be working when you're 65 paying taxes, or would you rather be laying on a beach somewhere at 65 paying taxes? Because at the end of the day, you're going to pay taxes regardless. But if you've structured your life during your accumulation years, you can really enjoy your retirement. Pensions can, they can be often rolled into a locked in retirement income fund. Again, you know, being able to invest all of these different types of accounts in the market to take advantage of the markets and what they have to offer. We look at non-registered accounts. That's a third type of investment or bucket that you can have, where you can invest money into an account that you don't have to worry about. I shouldn't say you don't have to worry about taxes, but it's not an RSP, so you don't get any tax advantage back by investing money into it. It's not a TFSA, it doesn't grow tax-free, but you can invest into a non-registered account or just an open cash account and have it in certain funds that will allow you, when you go to draw the money down, to take out what you've put in. And then once you hit the portion of growth, then you'll have to start paying some taxes on that money, right? And again, when do you want to pay taxes? Do you want to be working during retirement or enjoying retirement and enjoying your golden years? And so I'm just going to recap quickly comparing tax treatments here. If we look at an RSP and a TFSA, an RSP is tax deductible. So that means the money that you put into your RSP at the end of the year, you don't get taxed on that. And so if you're working at a job as an employee, at the end of the year, you will get money back if payroll's doing the proper amount of withholding tax, you'll get money back because the government will assume that you've made, let's just use $100,000, that you've made $100,000 that year. They've taxed you on $100,000 that year. But then at the end of the year, they say, hey, did you put money into an RSP? You said, yeah, I put in $10,000. They say, sorry, we took too much tax. Here's some tax money back. And you only get taxed on, say, $90,000 if you put that $10,000 into an RSP. A TFSA, on the other hand, it's not taxed. Deductible, but then it's the growth is tax-free, right? Both carry contribution carry forward. You can carry contributions forward, yes. Tax consequences, RSP, when you take money out, you have to pay taxes on that. And something to understand about an RSP, let's say you're working this year making $100,000 and you take out $10,000 from your RSP. That $10,000 is added to your income, and now your entire income is taxed at $110,000. And so if you properly understand the reason behind an RSP, tax deferral, planning for retirement, and a TFSA, then you can structure things in a way that it's tax advantageable for you, right? Maximum contribution for an RSP is you can put money in till 71 years old. A TFSA is no maximum. And then recontributions with withdrawals. So with withdrawals, you can take money out of your RSP for a first-time home buyer's plan or a long learning plan, a lifelong learning plan, on a tax-free basis. However, you got to pay that back. So there's some flexibility in an RSP. And a TFSA, if you take money out of your TFSA this year, that TFSA room opens up next year. So you never really lose your TFSA room. And again, it's just a few different ways of investing on either a tax-free or tax deferral side in Canada. And for the US side of things, I'm going to turn that back over to Arlie, and he can take her away.
Thank you, Cody. And the Western world has done a really good job of coming up with ways that if you are smart and you set your FIN number, and now we've figured out, you know, you don't have to save quite as much, because if your FIN number was that 1.2 million, you had to save 1400 and you were actually investing that, you'd get a break on your taxes. So they're making it possible for you to be able to get those taxes back. Whoops, it looks like I've got to move this presentation a few slides ahead, just a second here. And okay, let me get back to where we're supposed to be here. Sorry about this. And it has stopped. Okay, we know it stopped. Let's go back over here and get to the US. Sorry about that. Anyway, we're gonna be in a position, I think, if you were to really get smart about investing, whether you're north of the border or whether you're south of the border, it's absolutely amazing what you can do to get yourself financially independent. And it doesn't matter if there's a little difference in Canada or difference in the US. What the governments have come to realize is that you are going to always have the option to be able to get yourself on track and become financially independent. So I'm going to share my screen again and talk a little bit about the differences in the US and the Canadian plan. But, you know, I'm licensed on both sides of the border. I find that the one thing everybody wants in the United States, everybody wants in Canada, is they want financial freedom. And so if you want financial freedom and you're at the point where you say, I'm going to do whatever it takes, then you've got every option at your disposal to be able to accumulate tax efficiently and retire tax efficiently. So you got your company sponsored retirement plans. You've got your traditional and your Roth 401ks. You got your 403bs. You got your 457bs. These are all different plans for different occupations, but they give you the same advantage so that at one point where you say, well, you know what? We are going to be able to retire if we just followed the plans and did what they allowed us to do, whether you're working for a company and it's through a company plan, or whether you set up your own 401k. And you can set up your own 401k and you can really take it to the max limit of 19.5 in 2020. How long before you could be financially independent if you could start saving these kinds of dollars? Again, this is not something that everybody's going to do because a lot of people spend a lot more money than they earn. And, you know, if you're doing a catch up with your 401k now, you can put in your extra $6,500. And so you've got some pretty big contribution rooms. Your 403B contribution limits will grow from 19 to 19.5 as well. There's a lot of room there if you just decide, okay, I got to really put my plan together so that I can find out where my money's going so that I can really get maxing out these contributions, because then you're going to find out that one day, boom, you are at a point where now they are starting to show you a statement that says, hey, I had a call last night from a fella in Massachusetts. It says, hey, I've got my SEP, $55,000. I got to get it in there. How can I do it? And so, you know, these people are thinking about this now. It's a different world. Instead of like spend, 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 it's like save, save, save. And it's going to make a huge difference. So whether you're in Canada or United States, you got to take care of yourself. You got to do the catch up. You've got to make sure, because the number one asset you've got is time. Governments have given us lots of opportunities. Yes, they'll take all the taxes you want to pay them, but at the end of the day, if you're smart, you will start to pay a lot less taxes. So switching job options for your retirement plans, a lot of people switch companies and they don't know that they've left behind a retirement plan. And you can do a rollover, which is a tax-free distribution of cash and other assets from one retirement plan to another. The distribution to the second retirement plan is called a rollover contribution. And a lump sum distribution, this allows you to cash out your account in full with a single payment. You owe taxes and you may have to pay tax penalties. And you really don't want to do that unless you're at retirement age and you can start really putting in place your plan to live off that money. And then you're going to still have to keep it working for you. Money's like an employee. Either you work it or someone else works it. And that's why a lot of times people don't understand, if you're putting your money in any kind of a CD or, you know, term deposit, you actually are letting the bank work your money, and they're not going to come back at retirement and say, sorry, you're a little short, here's some more. So a rollover to another retirement plan is a great option. You can ask your former employer to transfer your account directly to your new employer's plan if it accepts such transfers. If not, you could set up your rollover to an IRA, your own independent retirement account, and you can ask your former employer to transfer your account balance to the IRA that you set up, and now you're in control. And if you're smart, you're going to know exactly what that money's doing, and you're going to take care of it for your future and your family's future. And so many people just don't even know these things exist, and so they're not out there taking advantage of it. So, advantages of rolling over a plan would be more investment choices, better communication. You got somebody you can reach out to and talk to. A lot of the plans that are at companies, nobody knows who to call. And, you know, they generally let you just take the money and invest it wherever. And, you know, they don't give you any kind of help. And so naturally you'll make the wrong decision just about every time. Lower fees and costs. You know, the Roth option where you can take a certain amount and you can get it to grow tax-free for the rest of your life. Cash incentives and fewer rules, estate planning advantages. These are the kinds of things that are out there and you need to start thinking about, okay, I've got this situation. And if you can't, you know, get the education on your own by going online and doing research, you know, you can reach out to somebody that you like and trust and that's going to help you with this. And that's what we do these webinars for, is to give people an education so they really aren't going to be vulnerable. And you'll start to be doing intelligent investing, intelligent work with your money and setting your goals. If you're self-employed, guess what? You got your SEP plan. You're a single employment sole proprietor. And that's what he called me about last night. You know, the man was in business for himself. Every year saves $55,000. You know, you got your simple IRA, which is it allows an employer, typically a small business or self-employed individual, to make retirement plan contributions into a traditional IRA established in the employee's name. And when you got your simple IRA, that is available to small businesses that do not have any other retirement savings plan. The simple, which stands for Savings Incentive Match Plan for Employees, it's the IRA that allows employer and employee contributions similar to a 401k plan, but with simpler, less costly administration and lower contribution limits. It's absolutely genius when you stop and think about what's out there to help families become financially independent. Debt-free, financially independent, unbelievable opportunity for any family that wakes up and says, it's gonna happen because I'm gonna make it happen and I'm gonna get educated. So USA individual retirement accounts, that's called the IRAs, traditional IRA and the Roth IRA. What's the difference? You might be sitting there saying, well, what is the difference? Well, I'll tell you, the difference is what you can contribute is hugely different. And so when you start to contribute, the limits for an individual IRA, unfortunately, the announcement increases for the IRA don't apply to IRAs. The annual contribution limit for traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs remain at $6,000 for 2020. If you're 50 or over, your catch-up contribution is still $1,000, and it isn't subject to any cost of living adjustment. So you got to kind of know the limits, but when you get out there, you start to realize that, you know what, the limits are enough if you take advantage of them every single year. You have a few choices when it comes to an IRA, which one works best for you. The traditional IRA is a deductible. You put $6,000 in, you deduct it from your employment income, you save that 20, 25, 30%, whatever tax bracket you're in, you save that money, and that's extra money that's going to be left in your household to reinvest. And a lot of times we'll tell people, take that money and reinvest it into a Roth IRA, which again is non-deductible, but it's not taxed at withdrawal. And can you imagine having, you know, 100, 200, 300, when you get your FIN number set, you want to make sure that that FIN number covers some non-registered investments, some Roth IRA money, and some traditional IRA money. That way, when you start drawing out, you can draw out a piece of each and you can keep your tax rate as low as possible. It's amazing, just a little bit of thinking, a little planning, and it's amazing what you can do. So the benefits are tax savings now and tax deferral until retirement on an IRA. Saves you money by giving you and your spouse the potential to contribute $6,500 each. That's $13,000 for a couple if you meet certain requirements. Off the top of your gross income, which reduces your taxable income, you postpone the payment of taxes on earnings until they're withdrawn at a date in the future, commonly known as retirement. Now, it could be financial independence long before a normal retirement date. And so your Roth IRA is another benefit where your contributions are not deducted, but you receive tax deferral on the earnings and tax-free withdrawals later on. So if you've got both an IRA and a Roth IRA, guess what? You can draw money out and you can blend that money and you can have a really, really good tax rate. So, you know, contributions are made after tax money, but when you withdraw, none of it will be taxed. And that's amazing. So college plans for Canada. All I know is that, you know, you're out there today. I'm sure if you were like most of us, you had children, nobody sat you down and talked to you about, you know, what you were going to do for your children. But if they did, you're one of the lucky ones. We just know that if you get proper advice, you can get your children educated. I read an article the other day where somebody had invested and they had a few hundred thousand in their account for the two kids. And they're wondering how on earth they were going to spend that on college. Hey, all we can say is you are very lucky and fortunate that you got good advice early. And there's a way now where those kids can take that and go to any college they ever want to and not come out of college with debt. So, Cody, I'm turning it back to you. Canadian college education plans.
Thank you, sir. So let's talk a little bit about, maybe it's not working for me here. Just hold on here, guys. Oh, there we go. Sorry about it. Every now and then, of course, we got to have a bit of a techno glitch. But anyways, back to college plans for Canada. Now, the U.S. and Canada have slightly different plans. Arlie's going to talk about the U.S. one after here. But, you know, while Americans can save for their child's education in a tax advantage investment, Canadians, you know, we have grants awarded from the government at the birth of a child. So essentially what it is, it's called the CESG or Canadian Education Savings Grant. And this allows parents to start saving for their child's education right when they're born. Once they get a social insurance number in Canada, they can start saving. Now, the best part about this is that the government actually will put in a little bit of money based on what you put in and your income as time goes on. So how does the Canadian Education Savings Grant work? Parents open up an RESP, okay, and they can do that at a bank, a credit union, or maybe another financial institution. Anyone can contribute, whether it's mom, dad, aunt, uncle, grandpa, grandma, they can all contribute. And since the RESP is an investment account, you can pick your investment vehicle, right? Whether it's a more aggressive risk or a lower risk or whatever the objective is. But it could have some fees attached depending on the investments. So you got to be careful which one you choose and make sure you get educated on that. Then the government, they then match a certain amount of money that goes in. And so to make this as simple as possible, for every $100 that a parent puts in, the Canadian government will match $20. And this is up to $500 a year, up to $7,200 lifetime in grants. And so if a family puts in $2,500 a year per child, the government will give them $500. And then depending on their income level, if families make between $47,630 and $95,259, they're eligible for, you know, an extra 10% grant on the first $500. And for, you know, families that had less than that would get an extra 20%. And so there's just depends on the income. But by and large, if you put in $2,500 this year, government puts in $500. If you put in more, there's no more grant that goes in. Okay. And then if you put in less, it's 20% of what you put in. Now, parents don't pay taxes on the money. This is after tax dollars, right? But when the child receives the money down the road, it's then taxed in their hands. And this is, so what happens is child turns 18 or 17 or 19, whenever they're going to college here. And once they've enrolled in an approved post-secondary institution, they'll receive payments called the educational assistant payments from their RESP. And the student then pays the taxes. So they're getting the money. It's as if they have a job, let's say, right? But generally, if you're a student, the amount of money that you're pulling out of your RESP is a lot less than what you'd be making. So it's taxed less in the hands of the child versus the parent that's maybe making, say, that $100,000 a year. Okay. Now, the catch is that the child must pursue, you know, an approved post-secondary education within 36 years of opening the account. So from the time they turn, you know, they're born to 36 years old, they got to have being enrolled in that post-secondary education. And let's say that the child doesn't go to school. Well, what happens is the government takes back their grants, okay? And then you're able to take out the money that you put in, right? The pre-growth money. And then any of the growth is subject to income tax and a 20% penalty, right? But essentially you're getting all your money back. There's gonna be some growth money in there that you're gonna get back. And that's essentially kind of in simple terminology how an RESP works in Canada. And as for the USA there, I'm going to give this back to Arlie. He's going to share what RESPs look like on, or education savings plans look like on the US side of things, and then close us out here. So you can take her away, Arlie. Oh, you might have to unmute yourself, sir. We cannot hear you. If you're talking there, Arlie, it's...
Okay, how's that? That's definitely better. Okay, so college education on the U.S. And I'm sharing my screen. And... if you were to look at, you know, what the possibilities are, they're very similar to Canada in a lot of respects. You've got the opportunity to get your children educated with tax efficiency. College savings plans in the U.S. are 529 plans, Coverdell plans, UTMA and UGMA plans. And those plans are all set up similar. And what you got to know is that most times they're tax advantaged. So they'll grow without a whole lot of tax consequences. But when you do invest, and I'm not as current with the U.S., you've got to take each one and say which one's right for my family and which one is going to give me the big advantage. And I know we're out of time, and we have to move to the next section. But I want to thank you for attending, and I want you to reach out to anybody that invited you here and say, hey, I need a little more information, because I know we're going through this quickly. But if you can reach out, you can get the help you need to get any kind of information that you think might be lacking. But we're trying our best to get you as much as we can, as quick as we can. And if you need to really get more, just don't be shy about it. Reach out, because it's the people that help themselves and are going out there and seeking after the information that are going to end up being very, very well rewarded for your time. Now, lastly, you know, we have another seminar starting right now called Join Our Team Webinar. And if you have signed up for that, you will have received a link, and it's going to be starting right away. So I'm going to turn this back over, and Kristen will be opening up that next Join Our Team Webinar if you're interested in extra income or interested in having an opportunity in this industry, then you might want to jump on there and watch that one. Thanks for attending. It's always a great pleasure, and hopefully nothing but the best for you and your family as you implement all these strategies. We'll talk to you in a bit, and have a great, great evening. Bye for now.